Hare Krishna, this is Dhanadhar Swami. Sorry I'm late. We had a big day yesterday, and it kind of disoriented me this morning. Hold on for 1 second, and I promise I'll be right back. Well, about 30 seconds, I'll be right back. Okay, you guys can hear me now? Hi, Bob?
Yes, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. What I think I'm going to do is kind of hold a bit of a different type of class today than I normally do. But thanks for waiting on, you know. I've managed to somehow keep this class going for about 10 years. And it started when I wasn't that kind of busy. You know, life changed a bit. Let me 1 second. Just 1 second. Okay. I'm kind of fine now. Well, it started in a little bit of a different way, where I was more sedentary. And when I travel, it's sometimes hard to keep track of the time and the date. So please excuse me if I'm late or I missed a few. And today, yesterday was my, Vyasa Puja. And I think I'm going to explain a little bit more about that and explain a little bit about Guru Tattva for today's Sangha. So we're not going to do the Bhagavatam, but what happens is, you know, the feast is not till about 5 o'clock. And basically, I just take a fruit or two in the morning and I fast all day. And except for the water I drink in the morning, I don't drink. I eat the feast, and then I become a little disoriented. I forgot completely about the class, even though Ruti made sure to remind me yesterday. But thankfully, Gail and Ruti called me up and woke me out of my slumber. So I'm glad to give the class. A few of the people on the Sangha were at the Vyas Puja, but I assume that most weren't, or maybe some heard. But I'd like to explain the point again, and I think I'll be able to explain it even in a better way. You know, I always struggle at Vyas Puja, really, you know, how to explain this Guru Tattva, because Guru Tattva is... it's a subject that's really a little bit difficult to understand, and notably within our tradition, it is so. And they describe that there are certain truths that by nature are difficult because they deal with the intersection of the material and spiritual world, like the Dham. It's near Delhi. It's a material distance, but somehow or other, it's an intersection with the spiritual world, and it's a little bit difficult to understand. And also, Lord Shiva, he's God, but in contact with the material world, and Guru Tattva. So I wanted to explain it in a kind of a way people can understand. And I was reading the book 5 Years, 11 Months, and A Life of Unexpected Love by Vishakha. And it took me 3 months to memorize the title. But it's another one of those great books. And some of the books about Prabhupada that are coming out in the form of memoirs, they're not just explaining Prabhupada, but they're explaining Prabhupada through the relationship with his devotees, which I think even more clearly really brings out Prabhupada. Because the glory of Prabhupada is the love that he inspired, you know, in his devotees. That's the glory of Prabhupada. That's the greatest glory of Prabhupada, because that's who he is. That's what made him successful, his ability to inspire this incredible thing in so many people that even if they can't follow it perfectly, it remains it remains so embedded. It remains so embedded in their hearts. And that's the Bhakti Lata Beej, this conception that my happiness, which is so counterintuitive to the material conception, that my happiness will be not trying for my own happiness. My happiness will be the happiness of another. And that's called love. The highest love is to love God. And it's really just an amazing thing that one is able to do that. And I really wanted to highlight on it, and I think even the people who heard me speak yesterday, they'll find something new. I really wanted to highlight in that through the story of Vishakha, and of course these great disciples of Prabhupada. And what struck me, and I like to share my realizations, and what struck me about it that was so amazing was that she had an extraordinary amount of obstacles, legitimate obstacles to Krishna consciousness, not just obstacles within herself, that obstacles that were thrust upon her by coming to Krishna consciousness. And first thing is, she was from an atheistic family. You know, I'm down in Colombia, and it's such a Catholic culture. The people have bhakti naturally. They love God. And that's what I like about that country, that people that are America, it's hard to find religious people in the higher echelons of society or you know, the middle class, or at least on the East and West Coast. But there, people are just so religious. So it's so easy. It's so easy for them to understand God and bhakti. But you come from a basically New York City. Okay, Great Neck Estates. That's where my relative somewhere else is from. It's New York, just extended a little bit. And coming from an atheistic family, who to the day her parents died, and that's in the book, and it's kind of sad, were completely opposed, disappointed, etc. So you not only have people who are atheistic, but you have your family really opposing you. I'll just tell a story. I was in Vrindavan, and these two devotees came with their Jewish mothers. One was Vasu Ghosh, a longtime preacher in India, and one was the Sringananda. And the Sringananda's mother, it's almost, she was so upset when her son joined Krishna consciousness. She was intelligent. Anyway, she wrote heavy letters criticizing Prabhupada. Heavy. Right direct. And there she was in India. You know, my parents kidnapped me. Now my mother's at the Asa Puja, telling everybody that these are the nicest people she's ever met. Especially her very good friend. She's so close with Gail, she tells me. We only see each other once a year, but we're so close. So, but anyway, my mother's so favorable. The Sringananda's mother is in Vrindavan, and then Kalakanta, he was there too. And he's from, regular Protestant family, Protestant work ethic. He said, I raised a family. I did it. And my parents weren't that, they were stoic at the beginning and they remained stoic. He said, I was joking. He said, but look here, this Jewish parents, they bomb the temple and then they come to Vrindavan or they do this. So I was just thinking, even worse than that is her parents. I mean, they're just inimical. And besides that, she comes and her life is that I'm trying to remain focused. The day after Vyas Puja, a little difficult, so excuse me. She comes basically because she fell in love with Yadubari College and he was doing an assignment and she wound up. And you see through the books, not only the obstacles that are opposed, but her struggles, looking at them as an intelligent girl from New York, probably with a feminist ideology. And she meets the people that are opposed to Krishna, that not are representing Krishna consciousness, in men who were young and sannyasis, and they didn't remain sannyasis, and they were filled with their desires, which came out in their frustration and their anger, especially towards women. And you watch this, and then the philosophy is not completely within her frame of reference. And it's like a miracle that she gets Krishna. And my point was, is what is there in Prabhupada that was so shining, that it was able to shine through all these obstacles in her relationship with them? It was able to shine in all throughout all those obstacles. And I discussed one aspect of Prabhupada's beauty is that he did not have any agenda. He did not have any agenda. And that's what bhakti means. Bhakti means you don't do anything with personal motive. And we know the frustrations we have of dealing with people with personal motive. We don't have any personal motive. And how beautiful is that? How powerful is that? And that's what bhakti is. Every definition of bhakti is you don't act from the platform of personal motive. Anyabila Shita Shunyam. Jana Karma Janabritam. Anukuyena Krishnadu. You only act for Krishna without any other desire. Sarvapati Vinir Muktam. You have no material designation as the enjoyer and controller. Your only designation is a devotee, servant of Krishna. So whether you exactly agree with someone's philosophy or not, you appreciate that. And I'm just saying, sometimes you see these people that have become popular today all over the world. I'm sometimes amazed. Impersonalist gurus that become popular. And it's all a bunch of BS. It's just that they know the psychology of gullible people. And all they know is they know how to project things and say what people want to hear. And a sincere person will see that. With Prabhupada, you're going to get things that you don't want to hear. But you feel the purity. You feel the integrity. And I use the term, thy willing and my willing. Spiritual person acts according to thy willing. And of course, there's something higher than oneself. Yet just according to my willing, what a selfish bore you are. If you act just according to my willing, I'm saying yourself. Person acts to thy willing, knows that there's some absolute truth beyond what one wants. And the beauty of that, the beauty of that. And how attractive it is, even if everything that Prabhupada didn't say was according to what her limited frame of reference would dictate as the truth, even though it wasn't politically correct. Of course, that's a few things, but all the clarity of when someone doesn't have an agenda and is able to actually neutrally see the truth beyond their willing, their desires, the understanding and the ability and the conviction to actually communicate that. And you see that shine through the book. And then that's what the Guru Parampara is. That type of person, learn it. But not just learning, because there's a learning people that cannot do that, because their learning is according to their own agenda. And Prabhupada had no agenda, personal agenda. The ability to actually do that, and that's what Prabhupada saw in his guru so strongly when he told him, you're an intelligent person. And you should preach in the West. And Prabhupada, it's so evident. If you're sincere and you get connected with that, you can see that. So I related to that, and then I told the people in their lives how they came to Krishna consciousness and how they're faced with this choice right now. And they should know without a doubt that if you can come to the higher platform of thy willing, when we're facing a myriad of things that we have to choose, you know, how glorious and how powerful that is. And that's our challenge. And that's what represents the parampara. More than any kind of scholarship, which must be there to represent the absolute truth, more than any scholarship, it's that type of person representing that type of thing that touches our hearts and inspires us that this is the truth I'm looking for, because I see it represented here in a person and his teacher. And that's what we communicate in Krishna consciousness. And that's what's effective. And that's what goes beyond political correctness or many, many conformities in our consciousness, which we try to impose on the absolute truth from our own limited perspective, our own conditioning, our own improper education, our own association, and so many things that make up our clouded mind that obscure the absolute truth. Anyway, so that's the principle we worship. I'm kind of a day after that this is the first class I ever gave when I'm taking a walk just to help with my digestion from yesterday. Although by God's grace, I'm blessed with good health, as is my mother, who came to the function. I mean, she hadn't got out of the house in the longest time, but she looked great, and she sat there, and she ate the meal, and was glorifying the Guru Parampara in her own way, in her abject, total appreciation of the devotees. And it's, I can indulge myself and just make some more comments, because I've run out of things on Guru Tattva here. I'll say a few other things. The function is so well organized, and I'm just going to make some philosophical comments about things like that. I don't really have to do anything, because disciples know that if things are not perfect, I'll freak out, because it's my nature. I'm very attuned to the environment, not in terms of myself, but in terms of its effect on others. It's just my nature, and it's very, very acute. So it's really incredibly, wonderfully organized, with an incredible cooperative spirit. And people come there just for the community. Because, you know, you want a community, but any time you get people together, you know, the first step of community is conflict. Because it means at least you're trying to get together. And generally there's no community at all in the modern age. But, you know, a community that's developed, and so mature. I know Kasturba another day was appreciating the people in New Jersey who, you know, weren't rocket ships, you know, shot up in the air and then fell into the ocean, but had a certain steadiness and integrity, faith never wavering, dealing with their families and their other responsibilities in the world. I have to repeat one joke I made that I think people really, really appreciated. At the end, Kunji Kishori was saying, "It's amazing how you have time, Maharaj, to keep so many personal relationships." And I looked and I said, "I don't have a family. I don't have a job." When you don't have a family, you don't have a job, you'll see how much time you have. But I appreciate the people that do have family, many children, and they all grew up with me as the guru in their family, and that kind of keeps them connected. But I should also mention is good management is something that you don't see. Bad management is glaring and disturbing. Good management you don't see. And some people think I'm too obsessive about that, but I'll defend it. I'll defend organization. I don't like, you know, only a few people can do this, lectures into the night when everybody has to go to work, or you know. And, you know, Krishna has his Astaka Lila Smaran. He has his eightfold daily pastimes. And they're very regulated because it's spontaneous. So the spiritual world, they don't mess with management because it's organized. It's constitutionally organized by Krishna. Krishna is punctual. He's on time. He does the same thing every day. And when you're regulated, you'll see how much more focus and concentration you have. In what you're doing, and how much more spontaneity you'll have in what you're doing. So I really appreciate, and each year how better it's organized, and also the Jersey people there. I try to watch my diet to a certain extent, and I have to do that because I have such good digestion that I don't have the luxury of having digestive problems and forcing special diets on people. So basically I eat what's there, but I have to be careful. I try to stay away from fried foods, not too many sweets. But on that particular day, I do indulge myself in Krishna's service. Can't eat so much, though, because it's already... But Jai Subhadra, in discipleship from the Guru Parampara, from Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and she does a wonderful job, and the others, and there's a kofta ball, and a cauliflower cheese subji, a string bean coconut subji. It was kind of like a puri dal, and rice and puris, salad with coconut dressing, plum chutney, cauliflower pakoras, puris. organized on time is great, great. I know, other realization, yeah, just that sense of community and what a relief it is for people to come into an environment where they don't have to worry about themselves. The modern world puts you in a situation that you feel if you're vulnerable, you'll be exploited. And that's not the best consciousness for bhakti. That's why community is so important. So people come, you know, into this environment, and more than the speech, more than the food, more than the kirtan, it's the... it's the community. And so many different people, and even this time people came actually from Russia, some wonderful people from there who've helped me immensely. You know, just fit right in and kind of felt that relief. And I brought them here as part of my responsibility to train them because, you know, for people to develop faith, they not only need a philosophy, they need something that represents their ideals. If a philosophy, if a religion, if you don't have a church that represents your ideals, actually is antithetical to your ideals. And it may be especially someone who has ideals of a certain type of community, a certain type of relationship, a certain type of organization, a certain type of respect. It can hurt their faith. So I've actually used Vyas Puja in my preaching to show people an ideal of the philosophy, how it manifests in mature people, in community, who welcome you, who care for others, who do things very expertly. And therefore create an environment where you can think of something greater than yourselves. I use it. I brought those people because they didn't have that community in Russia. And some were very substantial. One lady that came and was very quiet. At the age of 24, she was one of the 10 most influential journalists in Russia. Tremendous accomplishment. But had a little hard time finding her community in Krishna consciousness, which sometimes becomes so much centered on guru that it almost becomes culty. And no fault of the guru either. But a kind of community that forces their faith upon you rather than lets you choose it, and kind of forces a certain kind of movement and glorify and all kinds of little things that are things that you haven't chosen for yourself. And you see the tension in those people between their depth of sincerity in Krishna consciousness, almost willing to tolerate anything. They're so inspired by the philosophy and the holy name. But the tension they feel trying to do what's right as dictated by something that doesn't resemble the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where you don't know who one's guru is. In fact, previous times in the CC, you don't mention someone say who your guru is. Guru wasn't a public thing. It was a private thing because it's a subjective relationship. And if you make it a public thing, it's going to be relevantized, and you're going to have people who don't like your guru or criticize your guru. So people don't wear their discipleship on their sleeve. And which is wonderful how Prabhupada is doing that, or trying to do that, of course, as individuals, by creating a movement based on him. Well, he didn't even when Prabhupada was here, when I traveled in South India, Chaitananda was famous. It was not known as the Srila Prabhupada movement. It was known as the Hare Krishna movement. Because of that, Prabhupada becomes glorified. Because of that, he was potent. But anyway, that was another realization that I had from the Vyasa Puja, that it was just so... the community was just so cooperative and mature. It's just something that people relish, that people relish so deeply, actually, intelligent people. I have to say, I was very proud of the disciples. The offerings they made was very deep, and there were good sentiment and philosophical, and so well written. And the decorations this year outdid anything I've seen so far. And I explained to people that, you know, really bhakti means expression of love, and therefore bhakti means food and flowers, because those are the main ways in which, in one sense, of course, kirtan, and one main ways in which people can express their love. So bhakti is a very, very beautiful thing. anyway, I greatly appreciate it, and I always like to see. We do keep it family. It's not advertised as a wide event. Everyone come. I don't like that in these days. You know, sometimes in Vrindavan, it's a, and it's nice too. It's the Vyas Puja day of my guru. Everyone is invited. I think that's wonderful, but I like it here, especially I'm coming. I like the intimacy of it. I do suspect maybe we have a 5 years before it'll outgrow our place. But so far we're doing really good. And it was especially nice to see the people who, for either health reasons or distance reasons or whatever, couldn't make it in many years. It was great to see Seva Priya there. I know she faced some health challenges, but I spoke to her. She seems to be doing much better. And, you know, just wonderful to see people like that. And Luke, who the only time I see him is Vyas Puja, but he brought his, I think his wife and his new daughter to that function. And that was nice to see. And anyway, excuse me, I couldn't do the Bhagavatam class, but this is the best way to digest my food and to share something that was kind of fresh in my mind. Let me see what time it is. Okay. A few more minutes. Well, let's see if there's anything else I could say before we go. it's just we've developed our own ritual. I don't know exactly where it comes from, but there must have been about everybody that came there, every single person, there was a garland to offer, which was beautiful. And anyway, everything is nice. Good. Okay. Anybody like to say hello or ask a question?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Happy Vyas Puja.
We're so glad you had a good
great.
Time. We offer you our
great.
Most obeisances.
Thank you. And I'm happy that, you know, I could speak about it. You could hear about it. And I'm sure you were happy to hear that Jai Subhadra.
Oh, so
carried
much.
On the disciplic succession. Yeah, I know. Yeah, they're such a solid couple.
Totally.
And, you know, so many years. Yeah, great. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
This is who? Who is this?
This is Chaitanya Priya. Happy Vyasa Puja.
Thank you, Chaitanya Priya. I know if you're on the East Coast, you'd be the first one there. Thank you.
So. Oh, I miss you. I'm just relishing listening to it from a distance.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Sundarananda Gopal.
Oh, Sundarananda. Hare Bo.
Thank you very much for telling these stories. It always increases my appreciation for your students and your disciples when I hear you talk about them.
Well, thank you so much, Sundarananda. Hare Krishna. And there was quite a few people from your neck of the woods there, like Cybele and Joy. Okay, good. Anybody else
wonderful.
Like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Toto Gopinath here.
Wow, huh? We're on a roll. Good. Thanks, Toto. Anybody else?
Great.
Who?
This
Who is this?
Ananda, Advi, and Gopa Kishora.
Oh, right. This is what, New Moscow in Sayreville? Good, good.
At the beach.
What's that?
We're at the beach.
Jai Sri Radha has to mess up a little bit, otherwise the people are going to start importing Russian wives, and there'll be like a backlash. She did too nicely yesterday, Kunji Kishori told me. When she came in, you know, usually she was very happy. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Gumaraj. This is Kishori Radha.
And Priya.
Priya added a Rasika element to the whole thing, right? With that picture of Krishna leaving Vrindavan and the poem of separation.
Yeah.
That was good. A little,
she's,
you know,
amazing.
So it doesn't remain on the so it doesn't just remain on the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti. So it's good. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Gail, my mother loves you more than you can imagine.
Aww.
Really?
I always tell her she's actually the reason why I go to Vyasaputra.
I told her that today. I told her that this morning, that she outshone me. And after the Vyas Puja, there were long lines of people to take her darshan, and I was sitting there alone. So I can put things in perspective, Gail. And she used to do it when she was more energetic. She used to do it by embarrassing me. Now, you know, she's a little bit more infirm, so she just sits there quietly and dignified, and it's even more powerful. But did Joseph
have a nice
time?
I said, to the next Vyasa Puja, I'm selling tickets, because she is such a prolific stand-up comedian. I mean, who stays seated, but, you know, I mean, every minute she has this crack, and she doesn't have one bad joke. Not one. They all have you cracking up. She's so excellent at that. Yeah.
How did Joseph like the function?
He gave me unsolicited raving reviews. Unsolicited. And
okay.
I want to tell you that he missed his own, let's say, Vyasa Puja type event just to go to yours. Because his all-time favorite soccer team was playing, and he sacrificed it to be there, which is huge for him. I mean, he did tape it, but, you know, still, he doesn't do that. You know, he doesn't give it up.
Well, yeah, no, that was big, and it was nice to see your younger daughter there. And
yeah.
I got such a beautiful offering from her.
Oh, really?
Maybe I'll share. Oh, she wrote such a beautiful letter.
Oh, yeah,
really,
I would love to peek at that.
From the heart. Okay, no, I think I can share that with you.
Okay.
And part of it was how she went away from Krishna consciousness for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And how her meeting me over the years kind of kept her a little bit of a connection.
Mm-hmm.
But she was great. I mean, she gave a beautiful letter, and, you know, she works hard. She gave a donation, and,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
It was nice to see her, and she is quite a dignified and beautiful lady now. It's nice to see.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you.
Although I know you and her have your relationship.
No, but it is, you know, it is,
okay.
It is much better. So. Much better.
It's better.
Well, I'm not doing this again, but yeah, it is.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Brajaradhi.
Great. Wow. And you made the puris and those nice bundi laddus. When I was eating them, I thought, did they import these from Radha Govinda in Jaipur. I thought someone brought them from Jaipur. They were so authentic. That was great.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
I have a question,
okay.
Maharaj. You have a minute?
Yeah, go ahead. What's the question?
Where in Jersey was the Vyasa Puja held, and why there?
Well, I think because of both. One thing is, there's many reasons. One, you know, in New York, you're not going to find someone's apartment that's big enough for it. People in Jersey traditionally have houses. So traditionally, it was someplace in Jersey. And Gopiki Shore, who's a civil engineer, actually gutted his house and basically reformed it so that it would suit these programs. It has a beautiful temple, by God, a beautiful temple room. It has a kitchen with six burner stoves. It has organic gardens. It has a big backyard where people could sit. So as of now, it's the ideal place, and it's centrally located. And another factor that I thought is my mother is 96 years old. Is not the main factor, but it's only 20 minutes from her house. And if it was any more distance, she actually wouldn't be able to come. And I have to say, I was amazed that she was able to come because she doesn't go any place now. You know, but I asked her, it was great. She said, well, I was sitting the whole time. So, that's why. Okay, thank you. Okay,
sure.
We're going to wind up today. Thank you all for waiting on. Understand, wait at least 10 minutes because sometimes I may be late. Okay, thank you.